Timothy chapter 5 this morning. But also, once you get over there, if you could put your finger there, put a marker there, and turn to James chapter 1 as well. We have two passages for the text this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and also James chapter number 1. I'm blessed to hear Brother Liss's testimony. Actually, that goes right in with the message this morning. It's amazing how the Lord plans it that way. And we're going to be looking at keeping your robes. Keeping your robes. And there is a phrase here that we're going to look at here in 1 Timothy and also in James chapter 1. Something that is God's will for every Christian person. And we're going to be looking at God's desire for us as Christian people. We've accepted Christ as our Savior, and we are on our way to heaven through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. God has a desire for you, has a plan for you. And the desire is for us to have lives that are pure, to have minds that are pure, to have actions that are pure. And this morning we're going to look at how to realize God's plan for purity for every single Christian. And sometimes there's downplayed very much in a lot of churches today about purity, about living a life that is separated unto God. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. If we could stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God, 1 Timothy chapter number 5, we're going to look at verses 21 and 22, and then we're going to look over at James chapter 1, verse number 27. But 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning verse number 21 down to verse number 22, if you could follow along quietly as I read. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, need to be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. I look over at James chapter 1 and verse number 27. James chapter 1, verse number 27. And these verses are not the only verses in the Bible that speak about purity. All through the Old Testament and the New, God's desire for us is purity. James chapter 1, beginning verse number 27. Pure religion not defiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing and pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning humbly. Dear Lord, we see your plan for us to be pure, your desire for us to be pure. Dear Lord, I pray that this morning that we would be seeking for purity in our life, that we would see what your word commands us, dear Lord, how we can be pure through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for that. I pray that you give me the words to say this morning, that you tie me behind the cross, and that you give me power to preach this morning. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open, that thy Holy Spirit would instruct us and teach us, and dear Lord, that we would make a decision to have open hearts and open ears today. For Lord, there is so much power in this passage. There is so much power in your cleansing. There is so much joy and blessing. I pray that we would realize that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Keeping your robes. And in James chapter 1, verse number 27, and the last phrase there, that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And this morning, we're going to look at number 1. There's 3 points this morning. If you're taking notes, number 1, the expectation of purity. The expectation of purity. The plan of God for every human being was to be pure. When God created mankind, he created Adam and Eve in the garden, man was created to be pure, a pure and holy being. For God is holy and God is perfectly pure. There is not one sin, there is not one bad thought, there is not one deception in God at all. He is perfect and without sin. And that is something that we can understand and appreciate, and something we need to hear more about is the holiness of God. And because God is holy, there is an expectation for us to be holy as his people. Now, Adam and Eve, now some people, we look at this and, well, hasn't man always been this way? Haven't we always struggled with sin? Hasn't it always been this way? No, it wasn't. When Adam and Eve were originally created, they were created in perfectness, that they were created pure and holy. That's how God intends people to be. He intends His people to be pure. Now there are some who try to make a comparison between people today and Adam and Eve back then. There really isn't a comparison. We know that sin entered into the world after Adam and Eve disobeyed the one command of God, of something that they were not supposed to do. They were given a lot of things they were told to do, but the one thing they were told they could not do, they decided to sin. And ever since then, man has been in a state of sin, born in sin. This is how God originally designed and intended for man to be, was to be pure and holy. But because of the fall, now there is a constant battle between purity and filthiness. It doesn't take very long to look around and you see there's a lot of filthiness in this world. There's a lot of sin. There is a lot of things that the devil would love to get Christian people involved in. And when we become a child of God through the forgiveness of Christ, we are adopted into the family of God. Praise God for that. That when we get saved, we're no longer outcasts on the slave market of sin. We are no longer impure and in the filthiness of sin. If we are without Christ, we are lost and we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18 and 19. In that Jesus died because of our sin, we were enslaved to sin and filthiness. We could not be pure. We could not be holy. But because Jesus Christ came, He came and He suffered the death we deserve to die, and He cleansed us with His blood. The cleansing power of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 tells us this. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were enslaved to sin. Now we weren't redeemed with silver and gold. Someone didn't pay a physical ransom in the sense of diamonds and gold and jewels, but Jesus shed His blood and gave His life so that we might be free. So that we might be pure. And that plan of God is for us to live a pure life before Him. Now I'll tell you what, a lot of churches, this is becoming lost. In that we're to be separate from the world. We're not to live as the world lives. Look at 1 John 1:7. The cleansing power of Jesus Christ. There is an expectation of purity. There's an expectation of doing right and living right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. After we are saved, we are adopted in the family of God. And when God looks upon us, He doesn't see our righteousness, which is described as filthy rags. But our good works and what we do is not good enough in the eyes of God. But because of what Jesus did, He cleansed us and He saved us and placed upon us the white robes of His righteousness. And we are white as snow. When God looks upon us, He doesn't see us in our sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. Now these robes that we have, now they're not real physical robes, but they can also be described as the new man, the new nature. When you get saved, you're not the same as you used to be. At least you shouldn't. I mean, if you say, well, I got saved, nothing ever changed in my life. My desires didn't change. My lifestyle didn't change. The things I decided, I don't care if I sin. Nothing ever changed. And if you say that, amen? I mean, when you get saved, something changes in your heart, your mind. Something changes in your life. You are made a new creature. Old things are passed away. And that we are cleansed from sin. Praise God for that. When we are saved, we have a new nature. And a choice that we have every single day is this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 again. And look at verses 15 and 16. Because we are cleansed from sin, because we are now adopted in the family of God, there are certain expectations that God has of us. And that's something new for our culture. Our culture doesn't expect anything out of anybody. Amen? There's a lot of places that don't expect anybody out of their employees. They don't expect a whole lot out of kids today in school. But guess what? If you're a Christian, there's an expectation from God that you are to do certain things and not do certain things. There is the expectation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And the prayer of... that's James. James, or 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. One page too far. But as he which hath called you is holy, that's Christ, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So this was a repeat, a restatement of what God has said in Leviticus and shown of Israel, in that if we are to be God's people, now I'm not talking to Jewish people, but Christian people, Christ-like people, we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, there is an expectation of holiness and of purity. 1 John 1:7, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8, 29, let's look over there. Romans chapter 8, verse number 29. We're laying some groundwork here to jump off of here. Romans chapter 8, verse number 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Christ-likeness, that's what the word Christian means. It means little Christ or Christ-like ones. Because Christ was perfect and lived a perfect life ever since one time. The image of Christ, the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ, is a pure image. It is a perfect image. And we are to be conformed to that image. Romans 12 tells us not to be conformed into the image of this world. To be not conformed to this world, but be renewed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when we are saved, we are transformed. Amen? We're not just saved from hell. We're different. We're transformed. At least we should be. And when we're saved, now we know the expectation. We have a choice to make every single day of whether or not we are going to live a pure life or not. Whether we're going to live for God or live for ourselves. Whether we're going to live the way God wants us to live, or are we going to live the way we used to live? The choice is yours every single day. Ephesians 4:24. We have a choice to make. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4:24. And this is where every Christian is to live in power and power of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk in the Spirit. So here's the expectation this morning. The expectation of purity. Now, we have this idea of holiness that unfortunately our culture promotes, and maybe when you think of holiness, you think of a convent or a nun. You think of a monk in a monastery, right? You think, oh, that's what holy is. And the devil says, do you want to live like that? By the way, to be holy and pure doesn't mean you need to live like that. And by the way, living like that doesn't make you holy and pure. Amen? Words don't make us holy and pure. That's what they believe. But really, what makes us holy and pure is from the inside, is what Christ has done in our life and our heart. That's what makes us pure and holy on the inside. And what we need to do is live a life that reflects what's going on the inside. Because you know that your life is a reflection of what is going on in your heart. What we do outwardly, what we say, what does the Bible say? As the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? Whatever's in our heart eventually comes out of our mouth, especially when we get upset. When we get upset about something, what's really in our heart comes out of our mouth. And we say, well, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, you did. It was in your heart. And it came out. You didn't like that you said it. That's the only problem. You meant to say it, but you just weren't able to catch yourself. The actions that you live, the lifestyle that you live, is a reflection of what's in here. If we live a life that is dedicated to self and the world, then either one of two things, Christ is not in your heart at all, or number two, that you have decided to place yourself upon the throne of your life. And that I want what I want. And living my life is what I want, instead of what your actions and your words and everything that you do be a reflection of Christ who is pure. All that is pure and good in this life comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. But there is something here that a lot of people don't understand. is that we think of purity and holiness, oh yes, holiness is going to bind me, it's going to shackle me. That's right, it's a bunch of rules and regulations, you know. That's a bunch of legalism. We don't need that. We need to be free. Well, you know what? There's freedom in purity. That's number two this morning. The freedom of purity. There is freedom there. To live in this place of purity and separation unto God is not a place of a shackle. It's not a place of a binding. It is a place of freedom. Amen. Especially to those who live there, they can testify the fact, yes, it is. It is a free place. Unfortunately, too many Christians view holiness as a curse and a shackle. In reality, to be pure is to be truly free. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 in verse number 25. James chapter 1, verse number 25. Looking back over there, freedom that is the right kind of freedom. You know, there's a good kind of freedom and a bad kind. Freedom is not to do free to do whatever you feel like. You know, that's what many people are mistaken. The freedom that we have in America is a freedom to do whatever I feel like. No, freedom is to do what the law allows. And what we see here in the law of God, there are boundaries that keep us from danger. You know what? The freedom that a lot of people promote is really anarchy. Hey, I can be free to drive as fast as I want on the highway. If I want to drive 150, I can drive 150. Guess what? The laws are there for what? To protect people. To protect yourself and also to protect other people that are around you. Now, James chapter 1, verse number 25 tells us this. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being lived by it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Right here, the law of liberty. Those two ideas don't usually go together in our mind. We think of law, we think restriction, what I can't do, you know, suck the fun out of everything, you know, that I just can't live life, can't live a holy life. I guess I just have to get over the fact that I'm not going to have any fun. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of fun. Amen? I mean, life's not all about fun, by the way. Yes, not there's sometimes, there's place and time for that. But guess what? But living as a Christian person, living a holy and pure life, there's freedom there. And guess what? We have all kinds of fun. Amen? Brother Larson, I had a great time yesterday. Out soul-winning. In the heat. It was hot. Out there and everything. And we had a great time. Because guess what? Oh, this was great. Going out door knocking. You know what happened is that the JWs decided to show up on the same street. And they're going behind us. I'll look at you. You better not be taking our tracks out of the door. They didn't. They weren't putting theirs in either because they knew where I was going to walk by. You know what I do? I'm not ashamed of it. The JWs put this out the door. I go behind them and I take it all out. What are you doing, Pastor? I throw out the trash where it belongs. Okay. Amen? One time they took our trash out the door and I went over there and I said, why are you taking our trash out the door? They said, oh, we were just, you know, removing it. No, you put it back. Don't leave one. They didn't do anymore. I went back to them. I took their stuff out of the door. So, why? Well, why do you do that? Because we have the truth. They don't. Amen. They're the false gospel, the false truth. It's a passion. We have to respect other people's viewpoints. No, I don't. I don't have to when they're false. I can love them and I can tell them the way of salvation, but I'm not going to let them take anybody else to hell with them. That's very important. We have to understand that. We have to make sure we stand for truth and right. The freedom of purity. To be pure is to be truly free. The perfect law of liberty. The law of God that keeps us in boundaries, and there's great freedom there. There are many who see that they don't see the freedom that Christ has bought us. Before we were saved, we were enslaved to sin. We were not free. Amen? We could do whatever we wanted, but we didn't sure feel free, did we? We didn't feel like we didn't have a freedom of conscience. You know what? Yes, you can. You do whatever you want. But all those things, they have a price tag. And that is a enslaving of your mind, of your heart, guilt, and shame. That's slavery. And Jesus Christ died on the cross to make us free from that. To set us free. Not just free spiritually, but He has also made our minds free. We see that. Being transformed by the renewing of your minds. That our minds are free. He has unshackled our hearts and lives from sin. Christian, do you see and know how precious your purity is? The purity, the holiness that we are able to live. Before we were saved, we could try and live according to the boundaries, but there's no freedom there. Our heart and mind is still bound. The guilt and the shame was still there. But when Jesus saves us, He takes all that away, praise God. He sets us free. I'll venture to say that many do not know how precious it is. If they did, they would have traded in so quickly and easily. They view it as time to disdain and resent it, the expectation from God to be pure and separate from the world. They say, well, that's unreasonable. Doesn't he understand the world we live in? Yeah, he understands all right. The expectation is the same. He also understands how dangerous and enslaving it is. The Christian who believes that that holiness and purity is a shackle and it is something that's just to ruin their life and is legalist and we don't need to live that way, they are carnal in their mind. They are living according to the flesh and they have believed the lie from the pit of hell. The devil wants to make us think that our holiness and purity is something from the last generation. It's not hidden in him now, and it doesn't matter. You know why? If he can get you to lose the purity of your life and of your mind and of your heart, he can defeat you. But if you're walking with God in purity and holiness, he can't get to you. If you stand in the armor of God, he can't get to you. But if he gets you to believe that, and by the way, our young people are believing this by the droves, then, well, I don't need to live a life like that. I don't need to live a life that's pure. You know, pure is, it's all on the inside. It doesn't matter what you do on the outside. I'm sorry. What we do on the outside is a picture of what's in our hearts. John chapter 8, let's look at the truth here. Let's look at the truth. John chapter 8, a few verses here. John chapter 8. Here is the truth. And truth is the key to unlock all of this. John chapter 8, verse number 32. And he shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look down at verse number 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If Jesus has set you free, then you're free. But who can enslave us again? Well, we can enslave ourselves. Paul talks about that. Now that people, they go back to the old way of things. They go back to the old life. They decide to turn it all in. And you know what? Living this holy and pure life isn't worth it. What is the truth? The truth, number one, is that Jesus loves you. That Jesus loves us. And Jesus died for us. He gave His life to set you free. Somebody said, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been involved in. I can never be free. I can never be pure and clean. You're wrong. He can make you clean. He can forgive anything. He can cleanse you from anything. The truth is that Jesus will forgive you and He loves you. The truth is that most people would love to know how to go to sleep that night without nightmares and reliving the wretched things that they've done. They will learn to go to bed at night with a clear conscience before God and men and not have to think about all the terrible things that they have done in their life. Amen? That freedom we can get from God, that freedom we can get from Jesus Christ, He can cleanse our heart and cleanse our life. Most people would love, they would give anything that are cleansed up with love to have the comfort that the Holy Spirit can give us. The truth is that you as a Christian have been given a great gift and we don't even see it. We're used to going to bed at night and just not thinking, having to think about a whole lot of things. But the devil begins to work and say, you know what? This looks like so much fun. You don't see what these people go through because of sin. You don't see the boundary, the binding of their heart and their mind, the misery. They try to drown out with a bottle of alcohol. They try to drown it out with a pill from the psychiatrist. They try to have some kind of peace because they're not free. But we as Christians are free. We should be. As a Christian person, we can involve ourselves in the things of the world and in sin, that we can begin to enslave ourselves again with those things, the old life. But if you really look at sin for what it is and look at the world for what it is, and that's what Paul does over and over again, the church at Corinth, and does it all the other times all the way through the New Testament, you look at, why in the world would you want to? It doesn't bring anything, but people yet believe the lie over and over and over again. Purity doesn't matter. It does. Holiness does. So the pastor, as I'm not pure here today, you know what, I'm dirty and I have a stain of sin that, you know what, no one, it can't be taken away. Jesus can wash it and take it away. Amen. He can take away our guilt and our shame. He can set us free. We let him. Well, Pastor, I've done that. Praise God that I'm free. Well, first is the expectation of purity. Second is the freedom of purity. And third, you see, the boundary of purity. If we're to be holy and pure, then that's going to put some boundaries there. There need to be some boundaries that we're not going to cross, so that we may remain pure, that we may remain holy. So the first one is a boundary for our thinking. A boundary. Look at Philippians 4:8. Look at this on Friday night. Briefly, I'm going to expand on a little bit more. I've preached on this many, many times, and you know what? Why I preach on it over and over again is because this is the key, is that the devil of all things, he attacks most. He attacks the mind. He attacks our thinking. He attacks the mind over and over and over again. If you go out here and you get in your car or your truck or whatever, SUV, utility vehicle, as they call it now, they don't call it sport utility vehicle anymore. They call it the CUV, the crossover utility vehicle, and all these things. Anyway, you get in your two-wheel, four-wheel vehicle, you go out here, and you don't go very far up the road, you got a billboard, right? And you got a billboard, and you got billboards on the right, you got billboards on the left, going all down Fort History, you got billboards, going all down Stanford, you got billboards, going all down Central Texas Expressway, you got billboards, going down to Austin, down 35, billboards, billboards, billboards. Man, I don't know if anybody's counting how many billboards there are in America, there's probably millions. And they're to do one thing, to change your thinking. I need that. That's what I need. And to give us information, and some of them to change our thinking about things. And you know what? I think we'd all agree that there is a lot of billboards out there that are not pure or holy. All right, I don't think the Budweiser one is anything not holy and pure, amen. I think we agree with that. I think the ones for the adult stores that you see all up and down the highway, that's not pure or holy. But you know what? That is for our thinking. Everything that we see, look at the commercials on television. They're to change our thinking. And I would say probably 95-99% of them aren't anything pure and holy either. You go to Walmart. And you see the magazines and things for us to see what to change our thinking. Our phones. We get emails and advertisements what to change our thinking. We see things, we look at the news and they have news stories that we read to change our thinking. The mind is a battleground. And there need to be boundaries there. But praise God, He gives us boundaries to follow. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Okay, I've done a few sermon on this, do word studies going through each of these words. These are very important words. I encourage you to study them. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise. Now, those things talk about these things. We apply this law. I'm not going to talk about anything else that's bad. And to know, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen and we do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So right here, this is a recipe to have peace. Want to have peace in life? Listen to this right here. That there needs to be a boundary in our thinking. We are taught today that we don't need to control what's in our mind because no one can see it anyway. Now, we don't need to control what we think about. We can just think about whatever we want willy-nilly, and we can just, and we'll be fine. You know what? Just by thinking about something, we can sin. We can enter into sin just by thinking about something. That's not preached on very often anymore, is it? And you know exactly, we see that with the Pharisees. The Pharisees said, hey, as long as you don't commit adultery, you're fine. And Jesus says, no, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you have committed adultery with her in your heart already. It's just as simple what's going on in the mind. That's not anything physical took place, but in the mind, that's just as simple. But we need to put some boundaries for our thinking. Philippians 4:8. What this is a recipe. What is it? This is a filter. I call this a biblical thought filter. Okay? That whatever enters into our mind, we set this verse up, we understand what it says, and we go down a checklist. So in this thing that has entered into my mind, is it true? Is it the truth? And the truth according to God, what we think, but according to what God's Word says. Because the devil likes to tell us all kinds of things that aren't true. The world wants to teach us all kinds of things that aren't true. Wants us to do things that say it's okay when it's not true. And we say, well, if it's true, and we look at God's Word and say, no, it's not true, therefore, boom, it gets thrown out. It gets rejected. It gets thrown out of mind. You cast it down and you throw it out. Say, no, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think that. And you cast it out. It's not wrong to be tempted to think the wrong thing. It is sin to think the wrong thing. To yield to the temptation and do it. We're tempted to think all kinds of wrong things all the time. Everybody is. No one's immune from it. I've heard someone say, well, I'm immune from thinking bad things. Liar. Everybody thinks bad things. Everybody is tempted to think that way because the devil attacks our mind. So I never think about it. I always think Sunday school thoughts all the time. Liar. Everybody's tempted to think things that are incorrect and wrong. To be angry, to lust after something, to be covetous, whatever it is. We're all tempted to do that. But then we go down the list. Okay, it's true. And now there's a lot of things that are true, but whatever things are honest. Maybe it has a good intention. You know what? Something can be true, but it not have a good intention behind it. Right? So if it does have a good intention, we cast that. Well, it has a good intention behind it. Going down. Whatever things are pure. Okay. This thing is true. This thing has a good intention behind it. But is it something I ought to be thinking about and spending time meditating on? No, it's not pure. Maybe it's the sin of somebody else. Guess what? We don't just sit and meditate on that. It breaks our heart, though. When we hear someone fall into sin, and we think on that, and is it true? And maybe we have a good intention. Maybe we're concerned about that person, but we get to meditate on what they did and how terrible it is. Wait a minute. That's not pure. So we go down the steps. Pastor, do you really need to think? Man, this is going to eliminate a ton of things that go through my mind. Yeah, it will. It'll eliminate a lot of things that we talk about. It'll eliminate a lot of things that we involve ourselves in. Look at Job 31, verse number 1. In that, Job had a boundary in his mind and his heart. Job was considered a very righteous man and was very highly esteemed in the eyes of God. Right here, we see a window into Job's mind. Job said in Job 31:1, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? And you know what he's saying? I made a covenant with my eyes. I made a promise. I'm not going to look at a woman to lust after her. Why should I think upon a maid? I have a wife and I have a happy marriage. I don't need that. I don't need to think on that. I don't need to. I made a covenant, made a promise. I'm not going to look over in that direction. And just in our culture today, there's a lot to look at. People walk around half naked everywhere. But guess what? You can make a covenant with your eyes, gentlemen, that you're not going to look over there. And you see, you turn your head the other way. Because I'm not thinking about that. Young ladies and ladies. You know, some people just think that the men that do this. Men, women do it too. So, wow. Look at that pumpkin man over there. Guess what? You have a husband, maybe not married yet. You don't even look the other way. You have these guys running along the side of the road, all these soldiers that run with their shirt off. Right, showing their muscles off to everybody. I'm going by and say, man, put your shirt back on. Some people really need to put their shirt back on. Anyway, as they're going down, you know, they think they have this great physique. Let's put the shirt back on, okay? But right there, there's women. You think, I've got to look the other way. You know, maybe they're coming out. Their short shorts are coming back. They're out there playing basketball. They got their short shorts on. They don't look at that. Turn the other way. It's not modest. It's not pure because it's going to lead to some impure thoughts. Make a decision. Make a covenant. Also, not only a boundary for our thinking, but a boundary for our association. Let's look back at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21, 22. This is back to our passage that we looked at here. First, we're going to look at verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Make a decision. And this is very important for our souls. Make a decision. If someone else has said, hey man, let's go over here and do this. Or you're going over to buddy's house. We're having a barbecue. By the way, if you're going to somebody's house that's a barbecue, there's going to be things that go on there that aren't right. That are not pure, and that no Christian has many business being there. And you know what you can say? Oh, well, you know, thanks for inviting me, but I can't make it. I've got some other plans. Oh, you're one of those Christian people. That's right. That's right. I'm like, you're one of those good people. Oh, so you're too good for us. He said, no, it has nothing to do with that. The Bible says to keep myself pure. And drinking and carousing and carrying on and cussing is not pure, so I'm not going to be there. There's nothing wrong with doing that. So, well, I'll be greater than a poop. Yeah. Doesn't mean you are one. It just means you're obeying God rather than men. You make a decision to say, hey, I'm not going to associate myself with that. I'm going to keep myself pure. Because at the end of the day, you're not going to stand in front of those people at the end of your life. You're going to stand before God. And you're going to have to give an account. Why didn't you keep yourself pure like I asked you to? Like I commanded. Didn't you love me enough to do that? No, I love my friends more. Be careful. Make it a boundary for association. Don't partake in another man's sin. If they're going to do something wrong, I have a lot of, I've had several. That's, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I don't go drinking. I'm the designated driver. I go around. Well, I go to the bars and I go all of those places, but I don't drink or anything. I'm the designated driver. I just want to make sure my buddies are safe. You're partaking in those people's sin. You're enabling them to sin. That's not keeping yourself pure. You are guilty by association. And we need to understand that we... Now, if a friend calls you up that's from work and says, hey, can you give me a ride home? I'm drunk. Is it necessarily wrong to give him a ride home? I don't think so. But if you're going around going in the bars carousing with them, you're just not drinking with them, you're as guilty as they are. Keep thyself pure. Boundaries for our associations. But also there needs to be a boundary for our morals. Look at 2 Timothy 2, just over a couple of pages, 2 Timothy 2, and verse number 22. Moral purity today is very much stopped at and very much diminished. 2 Timothy 2, 22, flee off the youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So what do? We're to flee also youthful lusts. In that, don't get yourself in situations where you're going to be tempted to get into sexual sin. We need to keep morality where it needs to be. Young people, there is a great gift in freedom, and when you stand at a marriage altar before your wife, or your young lady before your husband, and you have your virginity and you're pure, that's a great gift. Amen. I'm thankful that my wife and I stood before each other perfectly pure. I praise God for that. So, well, what if that part of my life is over? Doesn't mean you're not pure, but I guess what? Young people, if you still have that, you keep it, you make a decision about it, that no one's going to take that away from you. Because the devil is really going to try. He's going to try. Young lady, he's going to bring a young man your way that seems all spiritual and good, and then he starts getting you to do things you don't have any business doing. Going places you have no business going, and doing these different things, and kissing and hugging, and doing all these, groping each other and these things. Guess what? You get far away from that, make a decision, you're not going to be involved with someone like that. But that's what's popular. That's what we do. No, it's lustful and it's wrong. Young men, there's the devil has a young lady with your name on it too. Gonna try and get you to do things you're not supposed to do and tempt you to do things. What? Can we go over here by ourselves? No. Stay in a group of people. There's safety there. Amen? Make some decisions. Young people, young adults, make some decisions about purity if you have not already. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:3. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not the lust of concupiscence, even as Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. As to treat other people right. And guess what? If you go out and commit fornication and immorality and adultery, that's what the world does. We're not like that. We've been saved from that, amen. And Christian young person or Christian young adult, you've grown up in a Christian home, you've grown up in a pure home, you've had no exposure to those things, and the world is going to, there's the allure of it. Make a decision and know this truth. There are people that have lived that lifestyle, been saved out of it, and you know what? They said there is no fulfillment there, there is no enjoyment there, there is nothing but slavery and shame and all of that. You don't want it. Stay away from it, but the devil makes it look so good. But we set up our boundaries so that we may meet the expectation of pure and holiness. We should fight against and subdue through the Scripture any desire to be impure in any way. There's great freedom and purity, great joy. All of you can have that today. What do we do when we have become spotted and impure? Well, Pastor, maybe there's some things in my life I've done and I've involved myself with and I'm not pure. You know what? If you did them before you were saved. You got saved. That all got cleansed away. Amen? You're pure. You're clean. You let it go. God let it go. The devil wants to remind you about it. But guess what? The Lord has forgiven it. He remembers it no more. You are free indeed. When Jesus said, I say I make you free, you really are. You're the one that needs to let it go and let God forgive. He has forgiven you already, and I need to forgive you. And let it go. The devil loves to get handles where he can grab a hold of us and tell us we can't do anything, we're nothing, but impure people, we can't do anything for God. It's a lie. Jesus can cleanse us. But what happens when we make mistakes and we soil the white robes of righteousness that we have? What do? We go to Jesus. 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise. That when we make a mistake and when we fall into sin, that Jesus is right there once again to cleanse our lives, to make us white as snow again, and to give us that freedom. We can have true cleaning and restoration of our purity in the Lord. Praise God for that. Praise God. But will you be made clean today? Will you commit to keep your robes spotless white? As a pastor, I know my robes are white. I'm going to commit. I'm going to set some boundaries. I'm committed to those boundaries. Maybe you've already made them. Maybe you need some new ones. Maybe you need some ones in areas you didn't know you needed them in. Make the boundary. Make the standard and commit to it. This is to keep myself pure and holy in the eyes of God so that I may love and serve Him so that I might be free. Will you commit to stay away from the filth of this world? I don't know if any of you have ever had if you ladies had a nice light colored dress on, maybe white dress or light blue, and tried to, maybe you're at a funeral or something, you're trying to walk this long, and you're trying to get someplace without getting any mud on it. It's hard, isn't it? You had to make some decisions of where you're going to step, where you're not going to go. Maybe you're a gentleman and you had a nice pair of tacky pants on, and you're out of dissertation, it's been raining, and you gotta walk across some grass, and you're trying very carefully not to get mud on your shoes so you don't get underpants. Been there, done that, well, most of the time we're unsuccessful. You know what? It takes some planning, it takes some decision making. Hey, I'm not gonna walk through the mud. You know, some people think, well, I can walk through the mud and not get dirty. Really? Ever try that? Doesn't work. Hey, I'm going to go through 2 inches of mud, but I'm not going to get dirty. It doesn't work that way. The quagmire and the filth of this world, hey, I can walk through that and not get dirty. That's what the devil wants you to think. It's not true. That's why we have to have some boundaries. Say, I'm not going to go that direction. I'm not going to go that way, because if I go that way, my robes are going to be spotted. And my Lord told me to stay unspotted from the world, so I'm going to stay away from that. It's as simple as that. A decision, a commitment. Your purity is freedom. You maintain that freedom. Maybe you need to be set free this morning. Maybe you need salvation through Jesus Christ. Pastor, I know that I'm not saved. I know I need salvation. We'd love to talk to you about that this morning. Come forward at invitation time. Someone will take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and be set free for all eternity. Praise God. And maybe you're a Christian and you need to make some decisions this morning. Maybe there's some things that you need to make a decision about. Maybe you need to be purified. Maybe you've gotten some mud on your robes and you need to get washed. Whatever decision may be, you can make it.